Welcome back to part two of the Fringe Radio Show for the 23rd of November. Our guest tonight is Michelle DeChamps. We'll be right back with Michelle in a little bit. I'd like to say good evening and welcome all of our listeners to the Fringe Radio Show. Again, we're here every Monday through Friday night from midnight till 2 a.m. Saturday nights, we're here from 6 till 9. Our sponsor, Utah Go Green Carpet Cleaning. With the holidays coming on really quick, it's a great time to get your home and business in order. Utah Go Green Carpet Cleaning at 801-808-3228. That's 801-808-3228. Or visit them on the web at utahgogreencarpetcleaning.com. Of course, we're always live on the InceptionRadioNetwork.com. We want to say good evening to all of our listeners on Inception Radio. The Fringe Radio Show covers anything related to ghosts, paranormal, conspiracies, UFOs, alien and alien abduction, science and science fiction, cryptozoology, afterlife, near-death experiences, historical events and conspiracies, plus so much more, anything shrouded in a little bit of mystery. You can find Fringe Radio on the World Wide Web at www.thefringeradioshow.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter as well. If you have a story, an experience, or a sighting, or just questions for our guests, go ahead and post them through email, which we got a few tonight, and we'll go ahead and make sure that we get them forwarded. Our guest tomorrow night for our Saturday night show, we're going to have Lori McDonald on. She is a clinical hypnotherapist. She is the founder and organizer of the Sacramento Alien Abductee and Contactee Support Group. We're going to have Lori on. And then Walt Laskowski, who has been known as Got Ghosts Walt. He's been a paranormal researcher in the Philadelphia area for several years. And we're going to talk to Walt as well. So looking forward to tomorrow night's show. Our guest tonight is Michelle DeChamps. His website is noufors.com. Michelle, thank you so much for being here and sharing all your work and your experience.
Oh, you're welcome. I tend to ramble on, but
we
could talk for days.
I love it. That's what it's about. It's just being open about things and telling it from your vantage point. One thing that just a little off, a little different. What's your take? I've been tracking this comet Ison. If you're a watcher of the stars, have you been keeping tabs on the comet?
I have not as of yet, because I was waiting to see when it was supposed to be visible at all or whatever. We've been having cloudy skies. We had our second snowfall today, so, and the roads were icy, so I didn't really have time to look up at the sky. We're just keeping my eye on the road. I want to take...
Go ahead.
I do want to keep an eye on that, because it's funny, look, thinking back about 1997 when the Phoenix Lights thing was taking place, I actually did catch on my camcorder the Hale-Bopp comet.
Yes.
So I can't wait to see what this one's going to be like.
Yeah, I've been watching its progress pretty carefully, and of course it's now entering what they're calling the danger zone when it's got to make its slingshot around the sun. At a distance of about 700,000 or 800,000 miles off of the outer surface of the sun. I know there's a lot of astronomers that are thinking it may not survive. And then actually earlier today, one of the SOHO satellites is keeping an eye on it pretty carefully, or they're able to see it. And there was some talk or some rumblings on the internet a little bit about possibly a chunk of it breaking off that was visible by the satellite. So I'm hoping it's going to make its trip around. I know that I've been watching PBS and Nova had just had a special on a week ago. They're saying that if it survives its trip around the sun, possibly it'll be bright enough that you can see it during the day. And second of all, it'll be for at least the month of December, brighter, maybe three times brighter than a full moon. So it's going to be a celestial event. But it is interesting when you do a little bit of looking into it. There's a lot of people that bring up Planet X and a lot of these other topics around it.
Yeah, and I wonder how many people are going to report that thing as a UFO.
Exactly.
You know, but that's why I created the. As a matter of fact, some of the pages I was working on were before they were placed in a on my website where you couldn't see them. But then I said, well, okay, well, it was pressing for me to get these pages done as much as I could, as fast as I could, so I could place the links right in the margin. So for people who wanted to look at the list of criteria or what it takes to distinguish a UFO from any other objects, that's my UFO characteristics page. And then I've also finished a page and a subpage on Majestic 12, politicians and UFOs, military officers and UFOs, past and present. I'm still working on the ones that are that were present at the disclosure hearing and stuff. Scientists and UFOs. People might be surprised to find out who may have possibly have been present at the Roswell crash site. Astronauts and UFOs, pilots and UFOs, cops and saucers, which is police reports, not just from the U.S., but also from Australia and England. I worked on the site in conjunction with a police constable from the U.K., and then celebrities and UFOs, because it was important to show that it's not the town drunk at 2 o'clock in the morning that's seeing UFOs. We're talking movie stars, TV stars, producers, you know, all kinds of people from every walk of life that have seen UFOs or have a comment to say about it. Henry Winkler was the producer of Sightings, which is my favorite show of all times, documentary style show, and I wish that they would do like Unsolved Mysteries and put out video or DVD packs of all the UFO segments that they ever did, because it was excellent. And a lot of the video segments I've missed, but I have like 9 videotapes full of the stuff collected from Sightings, and I missed that show.
Yeah, a lot of great. The thing, just a little side comment with the show is it's kind of sad that I enjoy all the, you know, there's a whole brood of them, you know, the ghost hunter shows and chasing UFOs, but I don't know if you agree or not, Michelle. A lot of them they tend to have turned into just reality TV.
Yeah, exactly. There's like you were saying earlier about all these people that are using their cell phones to produce YouTube clips. I would counter that by saying there's enough UFO information out there, factual stuff, that they can use 10,000 times over without having to produce a single iota of fake stuff.
Right.
Because sightings are taking place on a daily basis at some point on this planet on a yearly cycle. You know, just because we're not seeing something here in Canada or down in the U.S., you know, somebody's having a sighting in Australia or the Maldives Islands or Sardinia or whatever. There's a report somewhere taking place all the time. That's how frequent these things are. People have no idea, and it needs to be said. And so all this fake stuff, and you know, I still consider hoaxing to be less than 1%, because in the 40s, it was the thing to do, because not even mentioning Roswell, because Roswell wasn't really, well, it was public back then, but it died down pretty quick because of the explanation story the day after. But the thing is, people were throwing trash can covers in the sky and taking pictures and stuff. I mean, the hoaxing took place because it was something new, but now it's old. It's an old story. UFOs have been around for a long time, and I don't think hoaxing is as prevalent as people would like to think it is.
Right.
You know?
I agree.
Or it's easily distinguishable from the real stuff, because my friends were saying, how come you're using old photos on your website? It's because these old photos had negatives with them, and they were analyzed to death, and they're genuine photos. Today, you could play with digital photos, make it whatever you want. And so I have a few photos on there that are digital, but it's because I know the people who took them, and they wouldn't risk their reputation, their careers, or whatever. And you know what? I found out, you know, and one thing I do know is that once you've lost your reputation, it doesn't matter in which circumstance you lose it, you can never regain it.
Right.
And so witnesses are not about to go and fake stuff like the hoaxers and fakers would like to do all the time. They think it's fun, you know, but I still think that hoaxing is less than 1%. We don't really have to worry about that. And in the statistics, it basically comes up as being very, very small percentage compared to even psychological. I mean, people saying that only 3% of the sightings are unexplained. Well, I say that's bull, because even Project Blue Book Special Report 14 says that out of 3,201 sighting, there was 23.5% that were genuine, and there is a separate category for the ones that didn't have enough information to even say one way or the other that they were unexplained or not.
Exactly. Oh, exactly.
You know, so exactly. where's the 3% from? Well, it's very simple. The smaller the percentage, the easier it is to sweep under the rug. But if you're talking about 25% of sightings is unexplained and is beyond any technology from any country on this planet 40, 50 years ago or today, then it's not so easy to get rid of.
Right.
You know? And it's another thing that frustrates me, and that's why I created the website. I mean, I was just starting off with news clippings being based on that, and then it expanded to something else because I was just sick and tired of the BS, you know, and the falsehoods that are being put out there, whether by documentary filmmakers or just the media in general, because I know now there's really good documentary filmmakers. There's Paul Kimball here in Nova Scotia that's done a really good documentary on the Aztec New Mexico crash of 1948. He's done one called Fields of Fear, which talks about the mutilation cases in Alberta. And we also have James Fox, who did an excellent documentary about, you know, Out of the Blue and I Know What I Saw. And then Lynn Katai, who produced The Phoenix Lights. Those are excellent documentaries amongst a few others that have recently come out in the last 10, 15 years. So it's gotten better. And I think the media has also gotten better. They're taking the subject less with an attitude of ridicule and more with a sense of seriousness. Although, like you said, it's sometimes it seems like something else is thrown in the news to totally distract us from the really important things. It's like people, my coworkers, they say, well, how come you don't watch sports? Well, sports to me is numbing because it's like the Roman games back in Roman times. It's a distraction for the population so that they don't know what their government is doing behind the scenes.
Right.
It's the same exact thing. And then while all this stuff is going on with this UFO stuff, the government's simply saying, well, there's nothing to it, don't look into it, we'll give you all kinds of goodies if you look the other way, if you turn the cheek. And that's what they've done with the media. They've manipulated it since way before World War I, and so it's never stopped. And we're paying the price for that by being left in the dark. And then you got a little kid coming home from school and say, Mom, I just saw a UFO land behind the school. And then what the parents are going to say? Oh, you're nuts. Are you imagining things?
Well, I did want to comment. What I really appreciated on your website was your kid's corner about just being open-minded. I've never seen that on any other website. I want to commend you on that because, again,
well, it's not quite finished yet.
Yeah, kids are really. I mean, they are. They're curious.
And they're our future. They're the ones who are going to be dealing with this much more than what we're dealing with now.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. They're going to be facing this even more. Like, who knows? We've seen the Phoenix Lights. We've seen the large. Well, us in Canada, we had this one super large object seen in 1996 up in the Yukon. But imagine what these kids, our future generations, are going to be seeing or encountering or interacting with, you know?
Right.
So it's going to be an amazing world for them like it is for us now.
Under your skeptics and debunkers, you've got a pretty thorough list. What's your take on that, Michelle, on the ones that just... What's your thoughts on those people?
I don't know. I've had my running on stage with Joe Nickel. James Oberg I cannot stand whatsoever. He may be right on some things astronomically related, like to NASA, but when it comes to UFOs, basically these guys know absolutely nothing. They're totally off the ball. They think that we're imagining things. They think that we're not seeing a UFO is exactly like seeing a sports car out on the street. You're going to remember the make. You're going to remember the way it looks. You're going to, a UFO is so much out of the ordinary, you'll remember more the details about that than you will about a 3-second car crash. And car crashes occur all the time. UFO sightings may be a little bit more rare for certain people. But the thing is once you see a UFO sighting and you know that it's something from somewhere else because of the way it behaves or whatever, or the way it looks, or the way it doesn't sound, because there's no sound in a lot of cases, I mean, you're changed. Your worldview just changes. And these guys here, they ought to be placed in a position where they see something like that. Or I recently saw an episode on TV. It was about a haunting, and it was the case of Sally. I was watching Paranormal Witness, and apparently that house is vacant to this day. Let these guys stay in there for a week.
Right.
Have them experience something that will totally change them overnight, and then they'll keep their mouth shut.
Right.
You know, that's what needs to happen. Maybe there won't be as many of these skeptics that are growing up because their kids are going to be growing up looking and saying, well, there is something weird going on. Or, no, there's too many people reporting something for it to just be something nuts. You know, the similarities are too amazing. And people tend to embellish their stories usually when they're faking something. But people that are reporting abductions or reporting UFO sightings, it's so boring because the stories are so repetitious. They're so similar. There's no embellishment. It's like a physical trace case. You know, Ted Phillips told me that after time and time again, it becomes so boring because the landing traces are so consistent. They look the same and they have the same effects on the environment and on the people. It becomes boring. You know, so it's just. I wish that the skeptics would throw away their skepticism and just, I mean, it's good to be skeptical up to a point.
Right.
It's just like saying, well, it's good to be open-minded, yeah, but not to the point where your brain falls out. I know that.
Well, in so many of them, what I tend to notice now, I've had, in your list you had Seth the Showstack. I've had him on the show. We had a good interview. We didn't talk about UFOs a little bit, you know. He talked more about SETI's work and where it's kind of going. But there's some of these guys that, they come across so abrasive. They're kicking you in the pants, right out of the gate. You don't even get half a chance to talk. Is Joe Nickel, is he that way, or is he a little bit?
Yeah. He even claims that he had a UFO sighting once, but it became an IFO after he identified it. Well, you know, if I stand outside long enough and see a plane at 35,000 feet and the way the sun reflects off its windows, I may not be able to tell what it is right away, but, you know, I will say it when it's something that's man-made. And him, you know, if he truly never saw anything that he could still not explain after the fact, and it's damn shame because he's missing out on some. They're all missing out on something great. I mean, Seth and Jill Tarter, for instance, who couldn't even, she's an astronomer for God's sakes, and she couldn't even tell. Like, she thought she was having a UFO sighting when she saw the moon behind some clouds. I says, how often do they leave their computer screen and to go outside and look at the sky?
Right, right.
That's what I'm wondering, because looking at some spikes on a computer screen is not going to tell you, you know, Jack, you know, these aliens are, I made a cartoon once, and I have it somewhere on my site, I think. I might put it in the children's section, but it was three radio telescopes looking in one direction, and behind them there's a UFO flying and says, and basically saying, oh, look at this, these scientists are looking for us, like, are looking for intelligent life way out in space, and here we are in our backyard.
Right.
You know, and it basically shows that astronomers have had their own sightings too. I mean, the discoverer of Pluto had his own sighting. There's actually quite a list of astronomers that have had sightings of UFOs, like, or strange red lights on the moon surface. You know, so these people here, they have an awful lot to learn. I mean, they may know what they went to school with, and that's probably what they're afraid of. They spent so much time in school educating themselves about what they know, that anything that comes across that might totally change their world upside down, they're so reluctant to accept. you know, yeah. because their education is worth more to them than the truth might be.
Well, even Bill Nye, he's probably one of the worst ones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he's now the spokesperson for CNN, isn't it? Because before it was Philip Klass was always talking for CNN, and now it's Bill Nye, the science guy. And when I saw him, you know, go up against James Fox and Robert Salas and even Robert Jacobs, I mean, holy smokes, man. How could he go on there totally unprepared? Like, really?
Yeah, I saw him on a show. I saw him on Larry King, actually, and Stanton was there and a few others. And he just pretty much, at least on King's interview, I've actually thought about having a night of skeptics and just play in their comments. He just came right out and said that anybody who believes in UFOs is just crazy. There's no such thing. Everybody has a camera, and why don't we have the you know, again, one of those guys that just, you can't talk anything, it doesn't matter. He just stops you right off the get-go. Just like, sure, they don't let you go anywhere with it.
Yeah, well, if they knew anything about UFOs, first of all, and this is one thing I've learned repeatedly, is when you have a sighting, it's when you're least expecting it. It's when you're not equipped to photograph it. Because I've never photographed any of mine. I've videotaped two of them, but it was just pure blind luck. One broad daylight and the other one at nighttime. And the segments are so short that you can even hear my sigh of frustration. Because what your eyes see, even at night, is not what the camcorder is going to portray. And that's too bad, because I did have fascinating sightings, but the thing is, in a lot of cases, when you'd wish you'd had a camera in your car's glove compartment, you don't. And a lot of my sightings, I didn't have a witness. And so you're standing there by yourself, you're shaking, your knees can barely hold you up, and you have to use the hood of your car to stabilize your binoculars. You know, that's what happened to me when I had my sighting at the radar base. And I was 4.5 miles away from the object. It's not like the thing was going to come and get me, although I did look in my car and I had a flashlight. And I was intending on flashing a signal to it, but then I thought, you know, what if it comes over and picks me up?
Right.
So I said, no, never mind. Leave the flashlight in the car and just keep safe, stay safe, look at it with your binoculars and appreciate the sighting that you're having. But there's no way to take a photograph all the time and photograph nighttime photographs. I'm not a photographer. I could never get a good photograph at night. So it's like, it's when you least expect it. When you have a really good sighting, and probably even more so if you were to encounter a being, like let's say you're walking your dog in the woods and you see a landed craft and they've stopped for mechanical repairs and they see you and they scurry up and they take off. I mean, how fast can you take a picture of that if they're taken off at 22,000 miles an hour?
Right. Exactly.
From a cruising speed of 15 miles or 10 miles or even 5 miles or just hovering there. So, yeah, I'd love to have the proof to show these people, but I don't even think that would be satisfactory enough.
Right.
I think seeing a body sometimes may not even be satisfactory enough. Yeah, I wonder what they'd say if their own, you know, superior, which would be their own government, would actually confess that this stuff is real. Would they believe them even?
Probably not.
Probably not. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, probably not. There's so many of them that just, they just won't, no matter what, they just won't, you know, they just won't give anybody the benefit of the doubt. Speaking of, you mentioned something, Michelle, was interesting about flashing a craft and being chased down. To my knowledge, I've heard, you know, I had Noe Torres on the show, and Ruben Urinardi, they talk about different alien abduction scenarios. Frank Frascino Jr. Talking about, you know, the Braxton Monster. One that I found interesting, I've done a little research, well, actually a lot of research, into the Barney and Betty Hill case.
Yeah.
And one thing I found pretty interesting that didn't come out early on, but in Kathleen Marden's book and some other research I've done, the craft, when Barney got out to take a look, the craft was actually kind of stalking him Have you read or researched where people have been actually chased down, maybe not even abducted, but these crafts have actually chased after people?
Oh yeah, yeah. I know of a friend of the family. She's a nurse, and she was traveling from out of town into Sudbury, I believe, and she was actually followed by a light. I know one other case where two ladies driving to Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, had to veer off the road because a light came down straight at them. And then as they looked in the rearview mirror, they could see it hover over the highway. The driver wanted to stop, but the passenger just argued and said, just keep on driving. That's what they did. And sometimes even one particular case of a bell-shaped object landing on the main highway between Sudbury and Toronto and being seen by a traveling salesman in one car and a truck driver in another vehicle. So being followed is I don't know how often that happens, but unless the person's willing to report it, it does occur. I mean, consistently. So it's like, it'd be frightening. Me, with all the sightings I've had, I'm surprised I'm not even looking over my shoulder when I'm driving or whatever, and I'm not afraid. I think I'm, to put it bluntly, I think I'm more afraid of my government or any government than I am afraid of the aliens or their ship.
Exactly. I know that Grant Cameron, I had an opportunity to meet Grant. He came through Salt Lake City last year, and I had the opportunity to meet him, we interviewed him actually a week before he stopped in town, and some of his encounters with the orbs on the road and his whole story, I mean, a lot of he's another individual that you know, again, people talk about not believing in these things, and took several coworkers to you know, hundreds of sightings he's had. Very interesting. He definitely represents your country's ufologist in top fashion.
Yeah, it turns out that his site and my site are now the only two historical sites across the country, and he appreciates mine and I appreciate his. So I don't think I've met him, but I've spoken to him a few times, and I've seen him on different YouTube clips and stuff, and his website. I've made links to his websites. I've used some of the biographies. Some of the things I found was really hard to find. Sometimes was the biography of a particular military man or politician, and in what respect did he have anything to do with UFOs or flying saucer research. And Jen Aldrich, for instance, sent me a copy of, like, free of charge. I was surprised. He says, give me your address. I said, okay. So I'm sending you this book. And it's UFOs and Government, a Historical Inquiry. And it's fascinating because it starts from the very beginning on how the military and the U.S. government handled UFOs and flying saucers and Foo Fighters and all that. And what's shocking to me is how they were totally scared about whether or not they were Nazi, they were Russian, and yet publicly nothing to it. Right. And I said, oh my God. and you're reading about this military officer and what his job was in respects to Project Blue Book or the UPI, Unknown Unexplained Phenomena Unit, something like that, whatever. And so all these groups, Project Find, Project Grudge. And it's like, wow, what a real learning tool that is. It's one that I haven't seen in many, many years that actually was finally put together and shows a real history of what happened from the get-go. And so, Grant, with this politician's website and mine, who's pretty well become an historical site in terms of the fact that the pages that are there, that's what's going to be there. I mean, if I get anything new, it'll be either a UFO report or it'll be a new a scientist back in the day that, well, there is Von Neumann I have to research, because these people were all interrelated somehow with having to do with Roswell crash or their crash in Missouri in 1941 and the physical evidence and what was found, you know, fiber optics and all that. I mean, it's just linking everything together, just like the Ryan Wood and his father Robert Wood, you know, backtracking the documents to to their point of origin. The MJ-12 documents, the new ones and the ones that were originally released back in 84. And I think that's what needs to be done, is more documentaries on documents. Not just, you know, showing, like one guy at work, I've made him so many copies of documentaries, and he says, well, it's videos, I want to see videos of UFOs, whatever. I says, you know what's important? It's the actual documents, because that's the paper trail right there that tells you that there's something going on, because otherwise, why would they publish millions of documents about something that they say doesn't exist? And some of them are radar tracks and records and tons of stuff. So there should be more documentaries made about documents and UFO documents, and show that there is a paper trail to go along with the stories and the reports and the accounts, and, you know, it's not just a bunch of fluff.
Yeah, no, I agree. And there is a lot of that stuff out there. You've just got to do so much digging for it. I mean, it's a career in itself.
Well, yeah, and that's why I decided to do that, so that people would have to go to 60,000 different websites. And I managed to download 10,000 files from the Australian archive, and the Canadian archives were the same. I found somebody had somehow scanned 5,000 files. Well, I found another package that contained the original 5,000, but turns out to be like almost 8,000 files. And they're the same files that I have on those microfilm reels, so I don't have to scan my microfilm reels, really. There's a good sampling there. 8,000 files, Canadian documents. I have some U.S. documents. I have some FBI files, CIA files. But the Australians, well, I couldn't believe that I had like 10,000 files in 28 or 29 different packages, something like that. And it's important to, and if I spoke Brazilian or whatever, I'd have the Brazilian files on there. I'd have the Yugoslavian files on there or whatever, KGB. I do have, George Knapp did send me before some Russian files, not KGB, but they're UFO files, with the American translation. And I think I've posted those as well. But I'm trying to look for all these PDF documents that were written by James McCampbell, all these people that researched the anomalies between electromagnetic fields and associated with UFOs, how the big 1965 power blackout was directly related to UFOs and not some broken relay on the Canadian side, which was actually an explanation put out by the Air Force, because the U.S. Air Force had a meeting with the Canadian Commission, the Power Commission, and they decided, well, we've got to put the blame somewhere. So they said, well, a broken relay on the Canadian side, and yet some flight coming in at Syracuse, New York, saw an object, a glowing object, over the power plant. And even Don Campbell, who worked at INCO, has actually physically seen two UFOs, one at a time, come down, hook on to the power line, drain the power for 15 minutes where the lights would go dim in the entire city, then would go back up 5 miles high, and 50 minutes later, the second object would come down and suck up all the power through the power lines, and the lights would go completely out. We're talking about 3 o'clock in the morning, when everybody's asleep, not too many witnesses, and it's happened many, 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 many times. So I'm not surprised that the power blackout in 1965 was directly related to UFOs. The one in 2001 was related to UFOs, I believe, in the Ohio section, because the electricity somehow backwashed on itself, which is something that does not occur. A strong electromagnetic field is the only thing that can make the power go back on itself somehow. And so all these facts I'm trying to find as PDF documents, place it on my website so people can see all the effects that are done upon people from UFOs, not by accident or not by purpose, but by accident. It's a byproduct. If UFOs wanted to take us over or kill us over, they could do it 10,000 times over, either going back in time, if that was possible, to travel back in time, go back to the 50s or the 1800s when we were even less weaponized than we are now, or do it today. Wouldn't make any difference. It'd be a losing battle. The military, you know, the U.S. military thinks they're all that. Well, not to these guys. It's nothing. The technology's like hundreds of thousands of years ahead, not just a few hundred years. So people need to know that, and I figured, well, by putting everything I could and can on one website, it'll be a one pit stop to hopefully learn along the way, And yeah, it's a big pill to swallow. I'm not saying that it's not going to be easy. It's like these skeptics accepting just one iota of what we're saying. It's a big story. And once you find out that your own government has lied to the rest of the world or whatever about what they found at Roswell and other crash sites, because Roswell is not the only one. It's only the only one in a lot of people's minds because it was made famous by all the civilian witnesses that were there. But there's been other crashes. I got to talk to Leonard Stringfield before he passed away, and he was the leading expert on other UFO crashes. I don't know who's picked up since then and decided to do the research.
Nobody really, Michelle. I mean, there's really, you know, Roswell seems to be kind of still the big one. I mean, there's Kecksburg, which, you know, Stan Gordon has written about and probably is one of the leading experts on it.
Scott Ramsey's looking into Aztec.
Right into
New Mexico. There was also Kingman, Arizona.
Right.
1953.
Len Kasten, I believe. I have to believe there are other ones out there with details, but we just don't hear about it that much.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a disservice to the public because, yeah, maybe it's something we'd be worried about. Maybe I don't want to know the answer. Maybe the answer, I don't think it is too terrifying. I mean, obviously, like I said before, if it was something to do with having them take us over so they can reclimate the planet for themselves, you know, we're supposed to be stewards of this planet. And to tell you the truth, we've done a lousy job at caretaking for this planet. We really have done a really bad job. So maybe they wouldn't be worse off. You know, I mean, maybe it'd be better off if we just simply died off and give it to the aliens. Maybe they'd do a better job than we did. But the thing is we're around for a reason, and I don't think that, you know, they're going to take us over, you know, swoop down and eat us or whatever. They could have done that a long time ago. It's just whatever it is, I think the mankind needs to know, because that's how we're going to progress. We can't just stay stagnant and take in the BS that we're being spoon-fed and say that that's status quo. That's what's going on. There's nothing else out there. We're the only ones. And we might as well stay at our own level of you know, naked ape and saying that there's nothing there. You know, live within the limitations we've set on ourselves.
Right.
Instead of thinking of outside the box like I do.
Well, you know, another one that we actually had Bill Campbell on. He did a lot of research at St. Augustine.
Okay.
His site is UFO Crash Book. If you've ever seen the movie Contact with Jodie Foster, that big telescope array, this happened right off the end of that. And Bill, he even has artifacts and some in some different things. But there's a handful of people that'll look at the stuff. He's tried to present his stuff several times, and you know, for the most part, nobody wants to. You know, he's presented to the UFO community, but nobody wants to. Nobody in government or, you know, somebody, let's call it government or authoritative, nobody wants to take a look at this stuff. And like you said, there's so much of it out there.
Yeah. You know. That would shake the foundation of what we have as a society. I mean, it would be a major, major culture shock. And some people might not even take it. You know, you'd have several, well, especially the older generation, you'd probably have like, I wouldn't even say in the millions, but people suffering from heart attacks because this is just a big shock. I mean, you know, my uncle, I mean, I could see his eyes glaze up when he told me that he saw these two beings, and yet it was what he described was so out of the ordinary. I mean, how do you explain, you know, this is like Christmas 1981, to tell you real quick what happened. Christmas 81, my mom's mother was there, my grandmother, and this is his son-in-law, my uncle, and his son. They were all sitting in the living room, and the living room all lit up in red. And they didn't bother much because they thought it was a neighbor backing up with their car. Well, my uncle, yeah, they were having a few beers and stuff, but they looked out the window, and all he saw at the corner of his driveway in the street was this big ball of fire, maybe 2 meters across, sitting on the snow. And there was these two small occupants that looked like they were wearing bell bottoms. And he said he doesn't remember looking at their faces because his attention was directed more by the snow, because one of them had a little stick and it was poking at the snow like, what the hell is this? And anyways, the whole thing happened really quick. They took off. they went outside, my uncle and his son, and they couldn't find a trace anywhere, no footprints or nothing. So a red ball of fire would normally melt the snow right down to the grass, but this is not normal fire. The physics is different. I've been telling people at work, physics is different. The properties of certain metals are going to be different than what we find on this planet. Everything we know is based on Earth-based technology. Once we go out there, the properties of different metals are going to be different. The properties of different things are going to be different. You know, you could have a blue flame that doesn't do anything at all except feels cold to the touch. And some UFOs have been reported to be ice cold to the touch. So it's just, it's going to be so much to discover, and it's going to be, yeah, there's going to be chaos in the meantime, like transition from what we are now to what we're going to become as a changed people after this. Yeah, it's not going to be a pretty sight, but it's going to happen, and we're going to have to face that. Otherwise, we're going to create even worse of a situation for ourselves in our minds and in our hearts, and having tons of people commit suicide because they can't face it, just like you've had people commit suicide in a particular abduction case because they know it's coming, because it's recurring, right? And I've heard of suicides and abductions and whatever else. So it's important for the information to go out, and yeah, a lot of people won't accept it, but one day we'll have to face it, like it or not, and it's as simple as that.
I agree with you. It's going to be, it's going to change things. If we could talk a little bit about disclosure, what's your thoughts on what Stephen Bassett did back in April in Washington? Do you think that helped, harmed, did anything, or it was just a dog and pony show?
I think it was amazing for what he brought together, all these people from around the world who have, like, these experts, or people that were in the military, ex-military, ex-CIA, ex-FAA, whatever. More of that needs to happen, though. The thing is, it's like, it was almost like a big blast, and all of a sudden just a slow trickle, and now it's silence. Until the next thing. And what frustrates me is how expensive it is to even put a documentary. I can't wait to buy the DVD pack of all 40 presenters, you know, 30 hours of testimony, you know, 5 days. I mean, I was hoping that whoever filmed this did such a good job of collecting everything that and make an excellent DVD pack, and it would sell. They wouldn't. You don't have to sell it at a fortune, because you'll make your money. You know, what's the problem that I find is out there in the world, the way it is, people would be surprised at how many people are actually interested in the paranormal. Whether I think this stuff is not paranormal. It's always happened. What's paranormal is our way of thinking opening up to that stuff. It's always been around. We're still in the cradle. We're barely making it over the bars,
right,
even to this day. And this stuff has always been around, and it will be around long after we're gone. And so it's important for stuff like that to happen more and more, because it opens our eyes. It sure, I hope it opened the eyes of those six former congressional people and the audience, whoever got to listen to that and see the testimony and the documentation. But it needs to happen more. But yeah, they want to make their money. But the thing is, it's like, it comes at a price. I mean, it shouldn't be that expensive to put out a good product and have it put on sale so that people like you and I can buy it right away and spread the word to our fellow friends and coworkers and say, look, this is the truth that's coming out, finally. Like, in trickles, but it's coming out at a steady pace, not just being died down the next day after because of some stupid story in the news that says, I don't know, or another distraction, like another war in Iraq, let's say, or whatever. I mean, there's always seems, my friends and I have noticed that just when you think something's going to break loose regarding UFOs, another story is thrown into the mix, whether it's, you know, the trife that's going on in Egypt or whatever, it's thrown in. And that becomes front page news. And the rest of the stuff, which is important to mankind and their future, is just laid to the wayside.
Exactly.
You know, and it's not going to help us in the long run, because the longer you prolong the lies and deceit and secrecy, the worse it's going to be for us in the long run.
You're right.
For them too, because there's going to be revolt. There's going to be revolution. There's going to be something, an uprising to say, we want the truth. Enough is enough. And I think that there's a beginning of that. It's a little bit quiet. It's not as loud as you and I would hope it to be. But at the same time, there's fear behind that too. I mean, who knows what the result of that would be? You know, martial law, who knows what would be put in place.
Sure.
FEMA camps, you know, I'm not into conspiracies at all. Some of my friends, they always go to AboveTopSecret.com and they read comments from there, but I try to stick to the facts as much as I can with whatever little or lots that people think I have on my website. I just like to stick to the facts. I don't jump to conclusions. I don't even have a speculation page. Like I stated my religious beliefs before. I believe that the Virgin Mary was artificially inseminated. I believe that Jesus was one of theirs. He came to give us a message of love, whatever, understanding, and we rejected him. You know, the Jewish people did the same. Well, they basically did the same thing. The guy was born there, and they did not regard him as the Messiah. So, how many more of that type of person or being will have to come here to straighten us out before we finally get the message?
Right.
You know, put him on the cross again.
Yeah.
You know. To shut them up. So, but I have no fear whatsoever. I do my stuff. I've seen UFOs. It's my destiny to educate people as much as I do. I wish I could go back to speaking in schools. I got paid once a year, I think, to go speak at a university, but this year they had cutbacks, so I never got called back. But, now once most of my pages are done on my website, I might actually sit down and finish my book. I mean, I have the news clippings in text form, and I have like 350 pages. So maybe it's time I wrote my book.
Yeah. If the amount of work that you have put into your website, and people, again, they need to check it out. It's www.nouforrs.com. There's so much information. There's so much stuff in there. As much as I have interviewed hundreds of people and I've kind of searched this field up and down every way possible, there's just more and more stuff in there that I didn't even know about, especially the celebrities and UFOs. I found that pretty entertaining.
That's cool. Yeah, I appreciate it, because I'm doing it for the benefit of mankind. For a while, I kind of sat on the information, and earlier on, way before I started the website, and I said to myself, you stupid idiot, this is meant to be shared. You can't just, you know, talk to your friends and say, I know more than you do. And I says, no, this is meant to be shared. This is for mankind. It's not just for us Canadians, for Americans, for Yugoslavians, for British. It's the whole planet. We're one race. I wish we had no borders. You know, the aliens look at us as being one race. We come from one planet. So there's a lot of things that have to change. It's our mindset, the way we think, the way we see things. It's a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of shows like we do, websites and research and work that you do. Maybe 50 people will look at it and 49 of them will turn their nose up at it, but it's the one or two or the five, it's a start. It's a slow process. And again, all we can do is just continually try to make it better, try to inform, and try to have people being more open-minded and question things. I think that's the big thing, is just question some stuff. Don't, if you see something crazy or if it's out of the ordinary, you know, give it a second look. Don't always write it off as, oh, well, it's nothing or whatever, or it's something else. Take a look at it and see. You may learn something on your own.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, without a doubt. I've got a couple minutes left, Michelle. I want to thank you for being here. I want to get you back on again. There's so much more to cover. What do you got coming up? Anything coming up in the near future? You doing any lectures anywhere?
No, but I don't even have my passport, and yet I've been asked by, the grandson of Jesse Marcel, and we've been chatting quite a bit. He's actually sending me a copy of his book, apparently. I've yet to receive that, but it's so neat to just talk to him and say, there's a family who grew up knowing that we're not alone, you know, due to his grandfather and his father, who sadly passed away this past August. So it's like Jesse Marcel III, and just like, wow, to be in a family like that, that they knew, I mean, growing up, they knew that his grandfather held artifacts that were not man-made. And, you know, I was having an argument not too long ago with a skeptic who still thinks it was weather balloon remnants. Well, that was what was switched for the photograph that was taken. But I believe Jesse Marcel and his family, and I believe an awful lot of other people I've actually met in person and locally and internationally, thanks to the internet. And
I was talking with Jesse Marcel Jr. We were conversing back and forth earlier in the summer. I wanted to have him on the program, and it was kind of he passed at a very young age, and like you say, so, you know, in the scheme of things, and a shame that some of the whole Roswell, the whole Roswell story. He was such an integral part, and just a nice guy. Like I said, I it was just didn't work out that we could have him on. Michelle, I want to thank you for being here tonight. It was an honor to have you, and if we can stay in touch, I'd like to get you back on again as soon as possible.
Oh, sure, and be my honor.
If you don't mind,
I'd be honored to be on.
Staying up late and talking about this and informing people.
Yeah, exactly. It's the most important thing.
It is. Get some rest, my friend. Again, people need to check out your website, noufors.com. Thank you so much for being here. Have a happy holiday, and let's stay in touch and get you back on. We haven't even scratched the surface.
Take care.
Take care, my friend. Have a good night. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Michelle DeChamps, check out his website. NoUFORS.com, NoUFORS.com, a great website. I learned a lot of stuff just looking through it. I was amazed. He's got so many things in there. It's just unbelievable the amount of stuff. Again, tomorrow night, we will have, tomorrow night, Walt Laskowski will be on, Laurie McDonald will be on, maybe we'll do a little War of the Worlds tomorrow night. We only have two guests booked. Couple next week, and then we're going to take a few days off to spend time with family for the Thanksgiving holiday. It's coming on like crazy. Boy, the year is just literally screamed by. I want to thank you all for tuning in as always. It's an honor to be here with you, the listeners. Have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. The Fringe Radio Show on K-Talk, KTKK AM 630 here in Salt Lake City. Of course, we're always live on the Inception Radio Network. See everybody tomorrow night. Thank you again. Take care.